Go ahead and take out that half sheet of paper in your program if you want to follow along that way, so you can tell how fast the sermon is going or slow, depending on how it's going. If you want to do it electronically and you have the Bible, the YouVersion app, you can click on events, find ACC, and follow along there electronically. And of course, I want to welcome our Westside campus today as we're going to be wrapping up our series of messages called Me and My Big Mouth. And we've been talking about how we use our mouths. And of course, our mouths can be used to communicate in both healthy and unhealthy ways. And in this series, we've chosen to look at four of the more unhealthy ways that we sometimes tend to use our mouths so that we can limit ourselves in these areas. We've talked about complaining and criticizing, last week lying, and today gossiping. And these forms of communication only lead to the breakdown and even the possible eventual destruction of our most valuable resources, which is our relationships with others. And we talked about last month how we were created to live in community, to be in relationship with other people. And those relationships, which are so important, can be either strengthened or sometimes destroyed by what comes out of our mouths. So if you remember the first week, we looked at complaining. And complaining really has to do with verbalizing what we feel are the negative aspects of our own life. And then the second week, we looked at criticizing, which really has to do with verbalizing the negative aspect of someone else's life. And then last week, Pastor Logan did a great job helping us look at that whole issue of lying, which has to do with speaking dishonestly about the truth of our own life. Well, today, we get to take a look at gossip, which has to do with speaking in a way that misuses the truth about other people's lives. And if we could just learn to at least minimize this kind of speech, maybe even eliminate it altogether from our language, it's going to actually improve our lives by allowing us to have healthier and happier relationships. I've already confessed that this particular series has been extra convicting to me because I've had to own up to the fact that I've been guilty of every one of these kinds of speech. And when you preach about it, it becomes even more obvious to those around you if you happen to talk that way. That's why someone once said, preaching is a lot like learning to play violin in public. That's pretty uncomfortable because everybody hears all the mistakes that you make. And everyone that I talk to about these things gets a front row seat to see how well I practice what I preach. And so last week, for example, recently, I attended the very first Getting to Know ACC down at the Westside campus. And it was after I had preached on complaining. And so the good news is I knew they were listening. But we always take some time at Getting to Know to really introduce ourselves, tell a little bit about ourselves at this time. And so when it was my turn, I was sharing with everybody that, of course, I grew up in Colorado. I'm a Colorado native. But that the first 10 years of ministry took place in Iowa. That's where we served the very first time. Now, are there any people here who've lived in the Midwest? Because lots of people here lived in the Midwest, and you'll understand this a little bit more. I love the people in Iowa. They were great people, salt of the earth people, wonderful people. But I have to say that having grown up in Colorado, I have to confess that I struggled a bit, well, actually a lot, with the weather in the Midwest. And so I just happened to be sharing how much I disliked how hot and humid it was in the summer and how cold it was in the winter. And it was right about then that someone said, hey, Brian, that sounds a lot like complaining to me. Thank you for pointing that out. Appreciate that so much. Problem was, I couldn't really disagree with them. I was complaining. And so I get stuck in that just like everybody else does. Well, today we get to talk about and explore the enticing, almost addictive, but also very detrimental practice of gossip. And while a gossip usually has a lot to say, you're going to discover that today there's a lot that can be said about gossip. Now, I'd like to find out just how applicable this message might be to this group here this morning. And so I'd like to know how many of you would say you've either known someone who gossips, or you've been exposed to gossip, or you've shared some gossip yourself. How many would say it would fit in one of those categories? Everybody. We've all experienced gossip. And so let's start this morning with what I found was the dictionary definition of gossip. And the dictionary defines gossip as unconstrained conversation. And that's part of the problem with gossip. What that means is there's not any limits. There's not any filters put on. It's unconstrained conversation or reports about other people. And they went on to say, typically involving details, they're not necessarily confirmed as being true. And so think about it. While criticism could be described as speaking negatively about another person in their presence because you're criticizing them, gossip really could be described as speaking negatively about another person but in their absence. They're not around necessarily to defend themselves. And so for our purposes today, the definition I'd like you to think about with gossip would be gossip is discussing the negative characteristics or circumstances of another person's life in their absence. It's really sharing details, the more negative ones, about another person when they're not there. And the challenge with gossip is it's always going to be easier to talk about people than it is to actually talk to people. That's the problem that we have with it. And so we're going to need to learn how to put a good filter on what we say. And so that's why Proverbs 21:23 would be the verse I'd love for you to focus on this week even, where it says, "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues can keep themselves from calamity." And I'm assuming most of you today would like to avoid some calamity. So how can we introduce a filter into our conversation so we can stop the gossip and keep ourselves from calamity? That's what we're going to try to address today. And I thought we would start by sharing what's so hard about that. And what's so hard about that is what's so great about gossip. Because there are parts of it that kind of attract us to it. For those of you who are familiar with any of the old hymns we used to sing in church, does anyone know what the favorite hymn of a person who likes to gossip is? Their favorite hymn is, "I love to tell the story," because they love to tell the story over and over again. Now, to help us understand why gossip can be so great, I've got to ask you some questions. May seem unrelated. We'll see if we'll get there. But I want to start out just finding out, how many of you here like kale? Wow, that's the most of any service and about the least amount of people. You guys like kale? I didn't even know kale existed 10 years ago. Where did it come from? And I'm not sure really why they brought it out, because I'm sorry, for me, it just tastes like dirt. When I eat kale, it reminds me of dirt. So I don't really, not really attractive to me. But if I were to share some other things, and these hopefully maybe relate to more people, although again, I'm amazed by that. If I were to offer you some chocolate or Brussels sprouts, what would you like to choose? Yeah, I knew somebody would say Brussels sprouts. All right, how about Limburger cheese or chocolate cake? Chocolate. Let's go for a chocolate cake. Now, this was another one somebody would like. Liver or chocolate chip cookies? Let's go for chocolate chip cookies. How about spinach or peanut M&Ms? Peanut M&Ms. You notice I had a little kind of a chocolate theme going there. Well, what's so great about gossip? The fact is, gossip is always going to be a little bit enticing to us because it's so satisfying to our emotional palate. It's so satisfying to our emotional palate. The reason we know that is because in the book of Proverbs, the writer in Proverbs 18:8 says this, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts." In other words, wow, that's some juicy, good-tasting, flavorful information. That's what gossip is like. And it's interesting because apparently the writer of the book of Proverbs thought that this was a significant enough of a thought that they actually included it twice in the same book. It appears in the exact same form about 8 chapters later, and this wasn't a misprint in your notes. It's like, hey, you included that same verse twice. No, in Proverbs 26:22, it says again, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts." And see, gossip can satisfy a longing that we have in our soul that if we don't meet that longing in a healthy way, we'll be tempted to satiate that need, that longing, with gossip. And here's why gossip is sometimes, so enticing to us. Possessing and sharing significant information about others can make you feel more significant yourself. And so sometimes we have this need to have value, and so having information about others can raise that value. People love to hear private and privileged and confidential information. Again, it kind of raises our sense of self-worth. Because when we're up on the lowdown in other people's lives, it has a tendency to sometimes make us feel better about our own lives. Like, I might be bad, but I'm not as bad as that. And that longing in our soul is having that sense of self-worth. So I want to ask you today, where are you getting that sense of self-worth? Because it should be from being created in the image of God and being valued and loved by Him. And if you're not getting it there, you're going to look for other ways to have that value. Now, the problem is that while gossip might be enticing to us, it's ultimately unhealthy for both our soul as well as our relationships. So that's kind of what's so great about gossip. Let's talk about for a minute what's not so great about gossip, because there are some things about gossip we need to be aware of. And I hope you know the biblical writers have nothing good to say about gossip and the damage that it can do. For example, in Proverbs 11:13, it says a gossip betrays a confidence. See, gossip can cause the loss of trust and intimacy in our relationships that then have to be rebuilt and restored. And so in Proverbs 16, it goes on to say, a gossip separates close friends. And all of us, we've seen examples of friendships that have gone sideways because someone spoke maybe out of turn. And gossip just usually adds more fuel to the fire. That's why in Proverbs 26:20 it says, without wood, a fire dies down, and without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Now, if those warnings aren't enough yet, I want to remind you that the Bible also reveals that gossip runs in a really tough crowd. I want you to notice, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, and there was a couple of them that we could look at, that gossip is kind of rolled into these different things. In the first chapter of his letter to Christ's followers in Rome, the Apostle Paul was trying to explain why the world had become such an evil place to live. And he says, really, it's partly because people have ignored God and as such have embarked on this downward spiral of behaviors. And he lists some of those behaviors. And please notice what just happens to show up in this horrific list of sins. Romans chapter 1. They become filled with every kind of wickedness and evil, greed and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. And if you've ever thought to yourself, well, gossip, that's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a thing. I mean, it hangs around with a pretty tough crowd. And if that wasn't enough, what's also not so great about gossip is that gossip is no respecter of persons. It really doesn't leave anyone untouched. You can be young and old, you can be rich or poor, you can be educated or ignorant, you can be male or female, you can be black or white or any other race, and still fall victim to gossip's devastation. And gossip really has the ability to do damage all the way around. It usually skews the reputation of the one being spoken about. So when we speak to others in their absence, they're not there to tell the whole story. Because usually when we share gossip, the whole story is never shared. Only the bits and pieces that often paint that other person in a more negative light than they may actually be. It also warps the perspective of the listener, the person who actually has to hear it. And that's because, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we often evaluate others by their behavior, but ourselves by our intentions. And so we see what they're doing. We might be doing some of the same things, but we know our intentions were good. And so it kind of warps our perspective of that person. And then, of course, you've got to recognize it really diminishes the integrity of the speaker. It diminishes the integrity of the speaker. And here's why. People who talk to you about others will also probably talk to others about you. And so when you hear information and these people are sharing things, just recognize probably when they're with other people, anyone who talks to you about others is probably having some similar conversations with others about you. Now, I'm not sure where I came across the following statement, but I think it really provides a great guideline for what we choose to say. And here's what it says. Everything that's said needs to be true. And we learned that last week when we talked about lying. But here's the part where we get to gossip. But not everything that's true needs to be said. And there are some things that we know, information that we have that probably doesn't need to be said. And we have to be so careful about this in the church, because we really are supposed to be a family, and we love and we care about each other, and we care about what's going on in each other's lives, and we try to lift each other up in prayer. But I know sometimes where prayer requests are actually an opportunity for us to share some gossip about other people, so we just need to be careful of that. And so I want to take a little shift here and talk about how we can get better at putting the kibosh on gossip. Say the word kibosh. That's a great word. I want you to think about that. When you think about gossip, I want to put the kibosh on gossip. Now, in case you're wondering what that really means, here's the definition of kibosh: to put an end to and to dispose of decisively. And that's exactly what we need to do with gossip in our world. And so I'd like to just encourage everybody here this morning to work on becoming a gossip kibosher. Make that part of your goal in life. And we could really help make the world a better place if we would become gossip kiboshers in this world. And one of the first ways that we can begin to put a kibosh on gossip would be do this. Before you speak to another person about another person, have a conversation with God. Talk to God about what you want to talk to someone else about another person. See, a good rule of thumb would always be that before you have a conversation with any others, that you start with a conversation with God. And we see how easy it is to have open conversations with God, because when we look in the Old Testament, that David had some very honest conversations with God, which are recorded for us in the book of Psalms. And he was completely open and honest. For example, in Psalm 142, verse 2, he says, "I pour out my complaint to him. Before him, I tell my trouble." It's always okay to talk to God. And if you have an issue with someone else or information about someone else, talking to God about that could often provide a very helpful perspective. And the good news is you can talk to God about someone else all you want to or all you need to. You know why? Because you're not going to expose any secrets about that person that God doesn't already know. He's already up to speed on everything that's going on in their life. And we need to start here because of a very important principle of life. And the principle is this: it's impossible, literally, to tell a secret. See, we think we're telling secrets when we talk to other people. But let's be honest, once you've told somebody, is it a secret anymore? Probably not. Not only have you done that. But let me remind you, when you share something with someone else, who also knows exactly about what was shared? It's God. And we've got to recognize when we're talking to other people, about other people, God is listening in. And there's a great example of that in Luke chapter 12. And I don't want this to be a heavy, but just an awareness that says, hey, I need to be careful about this. I should probably talk to God first. In Luke chapter 12, it says, Jesus speaking, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. So don't worry about, oh, I've got to get the word out or nobody else will. Or there's nothing hidden that will not be made known." And then he goes on, "What you have said in the dark, what you think other people are listening to and nobody will know about, actually it's going to be heard in the daylight. And what you've whispered in the inner ear, in inner rooms, will be proclaimed from the roofs." And so just be aware that you need to maybe have a conversation with God first. The second way that we can start to put a kibosh on gossip would be to only speak in a discerning way about another person who's not present, to someone who's part of the problem or part of the solution. And if you want to say, should I talk to this person about this other person? Is it someone who's part of the problem or part of the solution? Guy by the name of Dave Ramsey. Have you ever heard of him? Dave Ramsey, most people know of him from Financial Peace University. He's done a lot in the area of money, but he's also done a lot in leadership. And Dave Ramsey actually defines gossip as any time a negative is discussed with anyone who can't solve the problem. And that really is a good idea. If we could add this filter to our conversation, it could make a huge difference. And so when we're frustrated with something that's going on at work, and our natural inclination would be to talk to one of our coworkers, we need to ask ourselves, hey, are they part of the problem or part of the solution? Because if I'm talking to them and they're not either, it's not going to be very helpful. I could even be sharing gossip. And I've got to ask, why do we talk about people who aren't part of the problem or part of the solution? Well, it's usually easier, because there's nothing at stake there. And often what we're looking for is affirmation or support for our position. And we just like to know if we've got some people on our side. But if I'm bringing anyone else into a situation and they're not part of the problem or part of the solution, it's honestly just gossip. And then there's a third way that we can put the kibosh on gossip. And that would be just to help each other in this area. Because all of us have blind spots where we can't see. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And got to ask you this morning, how long do you think gossip has been around on this earth? Like 100 years? 200 years? Longer than that? Gossip's been around as long as there have been people on this earth. And so I just want to remind you, it's probably not going to go away in the next century or more. And I guarantee you, we're certainly not going to eradicate it with one simple sermon. But what if you and I could reduce the influence it has on each of us, as well as the damage that we might cause because of participating in it, if we learn to help each other in this area? And it can be so easy to slip into gossip without even thinking about it or realizing it. And when that happens, it's just helpful to have some other people's help. We can all learn to listen for statements that might be a signal that gossip is about to be delivered or shared. Because we know those statements, don't they? You know gossip usually going to begin with statements like, hey, did you hear about? You're not going to believe this. And whenever you hear statements like that, your gossip alert should go off, and it's probably the Holy Spirit helping you. And you can, if you're aware, I want to give you a couple of questions you can ask another person when that gossip alert goes off, and it will help them and it will help you. And the first question would be, have you talked to this person about that? If you're going to share some information about another person, it would be helpful to know, have you talked to that other person about this first? And if they say, no, I haven't talked to that person, then the next question might be, well, what's the purpose of you telling me this? What's the reason that I need to know? Do you want me to go to that person and share with them what you told me about them? Is that something you want me to do? Probably not. But what's the purpose behind you telling me this? Now, we've got to recognize that you also yourself might have access to information that others might really enjoy knowing, and so they might even attempt to draw some of that out of you. And I would just say, when people are fishing for information, you can respond to them simply by saying, hey, I think that's probably a conversation that you need to have with that person. I'd be glad to talk to you about it after you've talked to them, but that's probably a conversation you need to have with them. Well, one of the realities, as I already mentioned, we're going to have to face living in this world that we live in is that you and I are going to be exposed to gossip again and again. We're going to be tempted to share it ourselves. And so we got to figure out what can we do to actually not have that need to gossip. Now, how many of you have ever found that you have spiders in your home? Man, they show up in the craziest places, little cobwebs and spider webs, and we'll go around the house and we'll get rid of all the cobwebs, and pretty soon there's some more cobwebs. And it occurred to me one time, hey, what's probably the best way to get rid of the cobweb? Kill the spider. Yeah, actually kill the spider. And see, the challenge is when we talk about gossip, sometimes the things we do to not gossip is just get rid of the cobwebs. And what we really need to be doing is to kill the spider. And so we need to ask ourselves, what do we need to eliminate? Where does the need to gossip come from? And let me share you what I think, because all too often, when we don't want to take responsibility for how we're living our own lives, It's sometimes easier to redirect our attention to what's not working in other people's lives, because that makes us feel a little better. In fact, that's why I think TV dramas have become so popular in this country. I mean, we watch all this drama going on in other people's lives, and when we don't have to think so much about the drama going on in our own life. You know what's sad about that? We're spending hours in front of the television watching fake people live out fake dramas, and we're not dealing with the own things in our own life. Now, let me give you an example of what can happen, because there's a great example of this whole spider thing, I think, in an interaction between the Apostle Peter and Jesus after the resurrection and before Jesus returned to heaven. If you remember, right before the crucifixion, the Apostle Peter was feeling pretty confident about himself when he boasted about being able to stay by Jesus' side, regardless even if it meant losing his life. I'll die with you, Jesus, even if everybody else abandons you. But you remember what happened? Only a few hours later, he was feeling pretty badly about himself after he denied Jesus three times. And so I imagine that he was wondering, after such a dismal failure, whether Jesus would still want him on his team. Well, after the resurrection, we find that Jesus would often show up when the disciples were least expecting it. It's just one of the interesting things. And one of those occasions was early one morning after the apostles had been out fishing all night without any luck. And you can read the whole story in John chapter 21, but there it records this very personal interaction between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus is trying to reaffirm Peter's place as his follower. And so for each of the three times that Peter denied Jesus, he's asked by his Lord, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" But it doesn't appear that Peter was actually making the connection. And so the more he was asked that, the more it really bothered him. In fact, we're told that when Peter actually became a bit offended when Jesus asked him for the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And then for the third time, Jesus instructed him, "Feed my sheep." Now, this is when Jesus elected to give Peter a little snapshot of what his future was going to look like. How'd you like to have that in your life? Jesus would say, "Hey, here's what you have." Well, here's what Jesus told Peter in verse 18. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Now, when you hear that, in case you're wondering what that was all about, what we're told is that Jesus actually shared that with Peter to indicate what kind of death by which Peter was going to glorify God. And that's when Jesus said to Peter, "Hey, you follow me. You live out my plan for your life." Now, what happened next is very interesting, because Peter, instead of responding, "Lord, whatever you have in store for my life, I willingly embrace," when Jesus described what appears to be the awkward end to Peter's life, it made him a little uncomfortable. And so what did he do? He kind of looked away and he noticed the other apostle John following him at a distance. And that's when Peter jumped into the comparison mode as he pointed to John and said, "Well, yeah, but Jesus, what about him? What about him?" And Jesus kind of looked back at him and said, what about him? What does what happens in his life have to do with your life? You need to follow me. See, the spider for gossip is thinking we need to compare our life to the lives of others, because we'd rather not take responsibility for how we're living our own lives. And so we attempt to deflect our attention to what's going on in other people's lives. But let me just remind you this morning, how you're living your life compared to how someone else is living theirs doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is how you're living your life compared to the potential that He's placed in you. And that's why the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6 says, "Each one of you should test his own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves without comparing themselves to someone else." See, gossip at its base is really just about comparison. And the root cause of gossip is an attempt to artificially generate some value for ourselves by comparing ourselves to others, which is why we can get wrapped up in how other people are living their lives, hoping that comparison will make ours appear better. And you know what? In the meantime, we miss out doing living our own life, doing what God's called us to do. So let me leave you with a suggestion. Instead of getting wrapped up in discerning how other people are living their lives, make the most of living your own life. Live the life every day that God is calling you to live, and don't try to live someone else's life. And which is going to be healthier for you? To try and believe better about yourself by trying to think worse of others, or to try to live better by considering what great love the Father has displayed for us in Christ and then living out of that place of grace and love? I want to close with a thought. You know, gossip claims that I am strong because they are weak. But remember, the gospel claims that I am weak, but he is strong. That's where we need to live, and our lives will be much healthier. Let's pray. Father, almost every day of our lives, we're tempted to lean into gossip, compare our lives to the lives of others, instead of just accepting your love and your grace and your plan and your purpose for each one of us. So I pray that you would help us today to recognize how much you love and care for each one of us and how we don't need to be someone else. We don't need to compare ourselves to someone else to have value. We have value because you love us. And you are willing to pay the ultimate price so we could be in relationship with you. Father, help us by understanding that, to be able to speak words of life to those around us, words of truth, words of hope, words of encouragement. Guide us there, Father. It's where we need to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.